Good morning.
Good morning.
In the name of Jesus Christ, we welcome all of you who come to join us this morning at Providence Presbyterian Church. I invite you to look at the end of your pews. You'll find little pads there. We invite you to please put your name down on those so we'll know that you've been here. Those of you who might be visitors, if you'd like to have further information from the church, newsletter, that kind of thing, make sure you put in your email address so that we can get that to you. Or if you'd like us to call on you, an address and a phone number. I would like to invite everybody to come to the Ash Wednesday service this Wednesday at 7 p.m. This will be the beginning of our special time of Lent. And then on Tuesday evening, starting a week from Tuesday, we'll have TLC with Educational Opportunities and a Meal Together.
TNT,
excuse me. Okay. Gotta watch me, I mess up things. Okay, so that'll be on Tuesday nights. Tuesday nights together, right? TNT. Gina, I'd like you to go ahead and come up.
You're all welcome to attend TNT for some TLC starting next week. It is from 6 to 8 p.m., and for those of you who are not familiar with our TNT programs, it is a time where we gather together for a meal, it's potluck style, for the first hour, and then the second hour we break up into small groups with different offerings, and we will be bringing... We'll have more details on those offerings for next Sunday, so be on the lookout for those for that announcement. But just wanted to give you all a heads up that we do have a sign-up sheet for the meals for next week. I believe it will be casserole night. I think that's what we decided. So feel free to bring a casserole dish or a side or desserts. So that we can all enjoy fellowship time together next week. It's on the 11th, yes. Not this Tuesday, but the following Tuesday.
Are there any other announcements? Matt?
Yes, the college fellowship brunch today.
So all these college kids that are here, make sure that you get down there for a good meal. Any other announcements? Okay, let us worship God. Come to the mountaintop, all God's people. Leave all else behind to reach out to the eternal. In Christ, God brings the mountaintop to us and meets us. Even in the depths of despair.
We see a lamp shining in the darkness, and the morning star rises.
Pay attention to the signs through which God speaks. For those with discernment, they are everywhere. Like a devouring fire, the Spirit sweeps through our midst, and we are transformed in its glow.
Let us turn our fear or thoughts of fear, opening ourselves to all God has in
store. The proof of God's amazing love is this. While we were sinners, Christ died for us. Because we have faith in him, we dare to approach God with confidence, sharing our confession. Let us share together our confession first silently and then in unison. Mystery of mysteries, hide not your face from us. Hear our confession and forgive us sin. We go to the mountains to escape our involvements. We hear your commandments, then hide from their truth. We hide our faces to conceal our identities. Christ unmasks our pretense and strips us of pride. Help us not stand before your presence, and through Christ to stand before you, cleansed of our sin. Amen. Hear the good news. Who is in a position to condemn? Only Christ. And Christ died for us. Christ rose for us. Christ reigns in power for us. Christ prays for us. Anyone who is in Christ is a new creation. The old life is gone and the new life has begun. Know that we are forgiven and be at peace. Amen.
Thank you, Chancel Choir. This is the time in our worship that we share joys and concerns with one another as we bring our prayers to our Lord this morning. Are there joys and concerns in the congregation today?
I noticed in the bulletin that Presbytery is asking for prayers for two of our former ministers, Reverend Jim Keller, who was an interim pastor, and Reverend Joe Miller, who was pastor for 17 years. I'd also like to ask prayers for Reverend Denise Soares, who is a pastor of Fall River Church, who is very, very ill with cancer, and for her husband, a retired pastor, Ed Soares, and for Walter and I as we travel to Florida Tuesday for 2 weeks.
Lots of prayers there. Others this morning.
Prayers for my daughter and her husband as they prepare to have their third child born this Tuesday.
Wow. More grandchildren for Russ. Others. Whoops.
So I'd like to ask for continued prayers for my friend Flo. I mentioned before that she was waiting a heart transplant, and she still is. But this past week has been particularly challenging. On Sunday, they thought that they had a heart for her, and then they came back later and they said, nope, we don't. It's not going to work out. Same thing happened on Monday. So she's just been on a real emotional roller coaster. And meantime, her condition's deteriorating, so they had to insert a balloon pump, just all sorts of things that are going on. But her spirits seem pretty good. But if we could just continue to pray for my friend Flo, and hope that a heart finds its way to her soon.
For Judy's friend, Flo.
I'd like to have prayers for my neighbor, Betty Weil. She's 93 years old. She lives across the street from me. But at the beginning of last week, she started bleeding profusely from her nose, and so she's in the hospital on oxygen, and they don't know exactly where they're going to put her, in assisted living or in nursing home, yes.
So prayers for Betty, Joanne's neighbor across the street.
I have a joy. Today is my grandmother's birthday. She is turning 51.
Happy birthday to Divine's grandmother.
I'd like to ask for ongoing prayers for my niece, Melinda, and her parents. She is now fully homeless, but she's in California where it's at least warm.
So prayers for CJ's niece, Melinda, and her parents in this time.
I have a joy. Finally, we were able to move my father and mother-in-law literally next door to our house, so it's great. I hope it will be better for everybody. It's definitely so much easier, and thank you very much for praying for both of them. Thank you.
And prayers for Elena, too, in this as well. Right. Julie.
I have a joy and a concern. The joy is that my brother's, who's been battling cancer for 6 years, his tumors in his lungs, the doctor called them dead. That doesn't sound like a very medical term, but anyway, they're dead. And he, unfortunately, is one of those people that's allergic to everything in the world. So he, after they discovered that going in that they were dead, the, what do they use? Something very common they use, iodine. He's allergic to iodine, which was part of the treatment. So anyway, he's trying to get over that. That did not deter his going to the Caribbean for 10 days, however. So I need prayers anyway.
So continuing prayers for Jim, Julie's brother.
Let us pray. Oh God, we come to you this morning mindful that there is unrest in the world. We're aware of aggression. We're aware of violence. We pray, O Lord, that there might be peace, that negotiation might take the place of aggression. We pray, O God, for all people who live in the midst of violence, may they find a sense of peace at least within and know your loving presence is with them. We pray for the church, God, throughout the world. May we truly be emissaries of your kingdom. May we show through all that we do a better way, a way that is your way, that wills for the well-being of all people. We pray for former pastors, Joe Miller and Jim Keller. But we are also mindful, Lord, of Denise Soar's battle with cancer. We pray that she will feel your love surrounding her and be with her family as well, her husband Ed. As they go through these last stages with her and seek to bring her comfort. We pray, O God, that you will be with Betty, that they may be able to diagnose the source of her problem, and that she will find recovery. We pray that you will also be with Jim. We are very thankful that his tumors are in that unmedical term dead. We pray that he will recover from his iodine allergy reaction and that he will travel safely on his cruise. Be with Russ's, the birth of Russ's grandchild. We pray that this will be a safe birth, a healthy child to join his family or her family. We thank you that Elena's father-in-law has finally been able to come home, but we pray, O God, for Elena and all of those things that will still lie ahead of them. We're very aware, O God, of the issues that arise as our parents age and the frustrations and the decisions that must be made. It's very difficult, God, and we pray that you will be with all of those people who are in this situation, including Pastor Chris and her family. May they have wisdom, may they have patience, may they have grace in dealing with all of the things that they must deal with. We pray for safe travels for Walter and Judy and for Walter's continued treatments. We pray also for all of those who are celebrating birthdays. May they be truly blessed, grandmothers, and all alike. We pray, O God, for all people who are struggling with homelessness, imminent homelessness, illnesses for which they need to take medications but are reluctant. We pray that you will be with Melinda. Help her to do those things which will be beneficial to her. Be with her as she is homeless. May there be people who will assist her and help her family to be able to put her into your care. We pray, O God, that you will be with all of those who live with illnesses for which there is no cure, whether it be mental or physical. May they have the patience to deal with it, whatever it may be. May they have the discipline to continue medical routines which they must follow. Those who are recovering, may they have the patience for the physical therapy that they must persist with. Oh God, we pray that you will hear all of those prayers spoken from the heart as people bring them before you now. And we come before you confidently as your children, knowing that we are to bring our concerns to you in prayer, that you do answer prayer. And even though the answers are sometimes not the ones that we are wishing for or even sometimes demanding, that you do respond. And sometimes help us to remember that even no might be the answer. And we pray together now confidently as your children the prayer that our Lord taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not to temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
Children are excused to go down to their classes through fifth grade, and the family room is available upstairs for toddlers who might need a little bit more room to run around in.
Open our hearts and minds by the power of your Holy Spirit, that as the scriptures are read and your word is proclaimed, we may hear with joy what you say to us today. The first New Testament lesson is in the book of Matthew, chapter 17, 1 through 9. Six days later, Jesus took with him Peter and James and his brother John, and led them up a high mountain by themselves. And he was transfigured before them, and his face shone like the sun, and his clothes became dazzling white. Suddenly there appeared to them Moses and Elijah, talking with him. Then Peter said to Jesus, "Lord, it is good for us to be here. If you wish, I will make three dwellings here, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah." While he was still speaking, suddenly a bright cloud overshadowed them, and from the cloud a voice said, "This is my son, the beloved. With him I am well pleased. Listen to him." When the disciples heard this, they fell to the ground and were overcome by fear. But Jesus came and touched them, saying, "Get up and do not be afraid." And when they looked up, they saw no one except Jesus himself alone. The second New Testament lesson is in 2 Peter chapter 1, 16 to 18. "For we did not follow cleverly devised myths when we made known to you the power and coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but we had been eyewitnesses of his majesty. For he received honor and glory from God the Father when the voice was conveyed to him by the majestic glory, saying, 'This is my Son, my beloved, with whom I am well pleased.' We ourselves heard this voice come from heaven while we were with him on the holy mountain." This is the word of the Lord.
Thank you.
Maybe it's been my wanderings back and forth to the West Coast that has made me want very much to preach this mountaintop sermon on the Transfiguration. Having just returned from the lands of the mountains of Washington State and the hills of Seattle to Rhode Island, where our only ski area is a valley, maybe that's why I wanted to preach about this mountaintop experience that we read in our lectionary passage today. This mountaintop which Jesus shared with his disciples. This Jesus, always teaching, always guiding, always leading. The Jesus the disciples encounter in this text. But in this moment of text, not doing, but being. Mountaintops are thin spaces. The air is thinner and the chance to see more clearly and see further into the distance can happen when you are on the top of a mountain. When was the last time you had a mountaintop experience? One of our college students noted to me in a recent email, people call certain experiences mountaintop moments for a reason, because they pull us out of ourselves and help us see the bigger picture to gain new insights. They make space for awe and wonder. So when was your last mountaintop experience, and are you due and in need of another? Mountaintop experiences can emerge from many different angles out of the journeys of our lives. We can happen upon them unexpectedly, and suddenly we get a glimpse of God in new ways that we never anticipated. They may also be intentionally nurtured. We may make space for them in our lives, invited and emerge out of a disciplined life of prayer and meditation, reflecting on God's word, and yet still how God speaks in the midst of that can be unpredictable, and God's timing often not our own. Mountaintop experiences can be born in times of sadness, illness, or grief, when God meets us in the depths of despair, when the loss of a job refocuses life in new ways and makes one take time to reflect on those things which really matter. Mountaintop experiences can be born in the midst of transition, when we are anticipating new directions and experiencing God in new ways. In the lectionary, there is an intentional parallel in this gospel passage to the experience of Moses in receiving the law. It's no accident in this passage and in this story that the three giants of the faith, Moses, Elijah, and Jesus, law, prophecy, and salvation, all congregate together on the mountaintop with these disciples. We may remember mountains in the giving of the Ten Commandments to Moses and the awe which accompanied that as he returned from 40 days and 40 nights to the people with his face radiant because he had spoken with the Lord, as Exodus puts it. And we may also remember the story of Elijah, who after slaying the prophets of Baal, seeks direction from God out of despair that all of these people were seeking to do him harm, seeking his destruction. Again, on the mountaintop, he meets God, not in the wind or the earthquake or the fire, but in the still, small, silent voice. Very different mountaintop experiences, but pivotal ones, and ones which we can hearken back to as we seek, as a people of God, to move forward in faith. Matthew's text tells us that Jesus led the disciples to the mountain. In Luke's version of the story, they retreat in order to pray. The scene immediately follows in the Gospels, Jesus' words to the disciples that he is to be crucified, and that anyone who wants to be a follower must take up their cross and follow him, to lose their life in order to save it. And the disciples are not really happy with this message. happy about revising their picture of this Messiah that they had been following, who healed and taught and sought to live into such a new world of transformation. This isn't what they signed up for, you might imagine them saying, a Messiah who suffers to the point of death. In Luke's version, Luke explicitly records that Jesus, Moses, and Elijah are discussing this reality. They appeared in glory and were speaking of Jesus' departure. The word in Greek is literally the Exodus. Imagine that you were invited by Jesus to the mountaintop to retreat, to pray, to follow Jesus up there. And you began to experience this kind of revelation, seeing Jesus, Moses, and Elijah conferring together on the slopes of the mountain. After all that talk so recently about how Jesus would have to be crucified, here is the incredible opposite experience. Jesus in dazzling glory. Now, this is the kind of messianic experience that they'd signed up for, and they want to capture it. They want to stay on that mountaintop. That is exactly Peter's response, who is oh so human. Lord, it is good for us to be here. If you wish, I'll make three dwellings here, one for you and one for Moses and one for Elijah. I guess they would camp outside of those. Peter wants to capture the moment, to do something, something which will enable him to stay up there in the midst of that glorious feeling of power, of clarity, of wisdom, with these three pillars of the faith, to stay in that moment forever. Yes, William Barclay says, they are to fully experience the mountaintop. But as he has reflected on this passage, he writes, the moment of glory does not exist for its own sake. It exists to clothe the common things with a radiance they never had before. Peter doesn't get to stay on the mountaintop. The cloud comes over the scene, and God's voice is heard. And they saw no one except Jesus himself alone. As they sifted and sorted through the messages of law and prophet and Jesus' mission on earth, there was for them a clarity of vision. No one except Jesus alone. When in your life have you been able to see no one but Jesus alone? And so I think in reflecting on this text in this time and this season, that is the gift that the disciples receive on the mountaintop. Out of their fear of what was to come, this message of taking up the cross, when they lifted up their eyes, they saw no one except Jesus alone. And they do not stay on that mountain. The story does not end there. As God spoke at the time of Jesus' baptism by John, exactly the same words, God speaks to the disciples, "This is my beloved Son, with whom I am well pleased. Listen to him." The story does not end here with this magnificent encounter with the three pillars of the faith, Moses, Jesus, and Elijah. The disciples are to take this mountaintop experience and to live it out in the world. These same disciples who experienced the transfiguration are empowered by it and will be the same disciples who journey with Jesus all the way to Gethsemane. Where will we take our mountaintop experiences as we prepare to enter into a new season of the church year, this Lenten season of preparation for Easter, as we enter into Lent this Ash Wednesday? Where will we take our mountaintop experiences as we see Jesus again in the communion table this day? How will we deepen those experiences in which we see only Jesus and move to follow him with our lives? Lent offers to us a perfect time for such reflection and action. A mountaintop experience in a season, if you will, to pause in the moments of these weeks, to look at our lives and to look to see only Jesus. Where will Lent's journey take you? In study, in mission, in quiet, in action, in giving up, or in taking on? May Lent surprise you with new mountaintop experiences. May it transform your experience of Christ in your life wherever you may journey, and may it prompt you to see the world in new ways, to see no one except Jesus only, to live as Christ's disciples. Amen.
Let us join together as we affirm our faith with the affirmation of faith, which is printed in the bulletin. But when one turns to the Lord, the veil is removed. Now the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. And all of us, with unveiled faces, seeing the glory of the Lord as though reflected in a mirror, are being transformed into the same image, from one degree of glory to another. For this comes from the Lord, the Spirit. Let us give thanks to God who has blessed us in our lives by the giving of our tithes and offerings.
Thank you.
Gracious God, your gifts are more than we can abundantly ask or assume. Bless them now with your Spirit, that they might further your will, on earth as it is in heaven.
Friends, this is a joyful feast of the people of God, and all who would truly follow Jesus are welcome to come to this table. People will come from east and west and north and south to sit at table with our Lord. According to Luke, when our risen Lord was at table with his disciples, he broke bread. And when he did so, they recognized him. And some of them went back to Jerusalem to say they had seen our Lord. So we come to the table. Like their eyes were opened, may ours also be opened to the presence of our Lord at the table.
Let us join together in the great thanksgiving. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them to the Lord. It is right to give our thanks and praise.
Let us pray. Holy God, we praise you for your Son, Jesus, who shared our weakness and was tempted in every way as we are, and yet who stands as well for us, transfigured in your Spirit, your beloved, in whom you are well pleased. He came to earth that we and all people might be saved and set free to live in your Spirit. That day and for all time. Now give us your Spirit in the breaking of the bread and the sharing of the cup, so that by your power we may be drawn together and may be made one with Jesus Christ, who is our Lord, the way, the truth, and the life. Amen.
Remembering Jesus, we break bread and drink the cup, announcing his death for the saving of us from our sins, and telling the resurrection to the peoples of all the earth. On the night of his arrest, Jesus was at his table with his disciples, and after he took bread and gave thanks, he broke it, and he gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take, eat. This is my body broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me."
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name.
Take, eat the bread of Christ, which is for us.
In the same way, after supper, he took the cup and said, "This cup is the new covenant, sealed in my blood for the forgiveness of sins. As often as you drink of it, do so remembering me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the death of our Lord until he shall come again." Said, "I am the vine and you are the branches. Abide in me and you will bear much fruit. Cut off from me, you can do nothing."
Let us pray. In gratitude for this moment, this meal, this gathering, we give ourselves to you, O God. Take us out to live as changed people because we have shared the living bread and cannot remain the same. Much of us, expect much from us, enable much by us, encouraging all through us. So God, may we live to your glory here on earth and as citizens of the kingdom of heaven. Amen.
Together in our closing hymn, Shine, Jesus, Shine, which you will see and find in the small hymnal number 2173. Let us go forth into the mountains and into the valleys. Let us see and hear Jesus in our midst. And may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the communion of the Holy Spirit be and abide with us all, now and forevermore, wherever the journeys move. Amen.